Good morning and welcome to BTG's audio conference concerning the second quarter results 2014. Here with us today, Mr. Carlos Piani, CEO, Mr. Marco Cairala, CFO and IRO, and Mr. Antonio Guedes, COO, along with Mr. Rafael Espírito Santo, Head of IR. We'd like to inform you that this presentation is being recorded, and all participants will be connected in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, we'll start a Q&A session for analysts when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the call, please reach an operator by pressing star zero. We'd like to inform you that questions will only be made over the phone. If you are connected over a webcast, your question should be sent directly to our IR team at ir@pdg.com.br. The audio and slides of this conference are being broadcast simultaneously over the internet at www.pdg.com.br/ri. At this URL, you'll be able to find the presentation for download. Before going on, I'd like to make it clear that forward-looking statements made during the presentation concerning the company's business outlook, projections, and operating targets are based on beliefs and assumptions by the company's management and also on information currently available. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they refer to future events which may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that economic and factor conditions, as well as other operating factors, might affect the company's performance in the future and lead to results that might differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Piani, CEO. Please, Mr. Piani, you have the floor. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for participating in this call for the second quarter 2014. Our agenda today includes four different parts. First, I'll make a brief overview about our strategy, our performance on the quarter. Then Mr. Guedes, our COO, will be addressing the main operating aspects of the period. Then Cairala, our CFO, will talk about the company's financial results, and then lastly, we will move on to the Q&A session. So moving on to the message from the management. First off, I'd like to say that second quarter was a very atypical quarter. Several holidays and the World Cup. The number of working days was smaller than we had expected in several places where you are present, which took to a slower sales of speed and a slower process of permit issuance from cities. Because of that, we decided to delay some launches. So now we wait for a larger concentration of launches in the second half, always depending on the macroeconomic scenario, of course. We have been successful in concluding works, and we are within the cost, consolidated cost, given continuation to our de-risking process. So before 2013, we have totaled our legacy projects to 1.9 billion, significantly reducing our execution risks. We obtained occupancy permits. It's not yet at pace with the speed of works construction, especially in this quarter because of the holidays, as I mentioned. But we managed to keep up a level of mortgage transfer at a high level thanks to an improvement in the backlog of units to be transferred. The reduction of the unit backlog led to an increase in dissolutions in this quarter, which negatively impacted our accounting results. However, the average from the first half was within what we had expected, and we see a second half with a volume which will be the same or smaller than the one we've had so far. Concerning our cash flow, we had numbers which were in line with the previous quarter. If we disconsider some non-recurring events and some events which we could not control, such as the REP, we would perform better than before, which comes to show a better performance overall. Concerning our debt level, we were successful, as Carella will touch later, in rolling over some of our debts. We are well underway to formalize new credit lines and also in rolling over some maturity dates for the second half, which would solve the maturity dates for the remainder of the year. Lastly, I'd like to conclude by saying that under the current situations, we expect to have a second half to be better than the first half, focused mainly on the execution of legacy projects, which will lead us to generate positive cash in the period and to a beginning of a deleveraging period, optimization of our assets, and a concentration of our efforts in developing the company for the future. With that, I now turn the floor over to Mr. Guedes, who will be touching on the operating results for the quarter. Good morning, everyone. On slide number 3, we'll be talking about the launches for the second quarter 2014. We've launched 3 projects in the second quarter, as we said before in our last call. In April, we had 2 launches, Maison Artisan in São Paulo and the commercial tower Niemeyer in Niterói. In May, we launched the 4th phase of the Vila Nova Sabará project in conjunction with Rossi in São Paulo, and the 2nd phase of Jardim das Perdizes, along with Tecnisa, as we can see in the next page. This project called Time consists of 4 towers in a shopping mall. 2 towers have been launched, 1 for commercial suites, which has been almost entirely sold, and the other one with residential units. At the end of May, we launched in Atibaia, in the countryside of São Paulo. On slide number 5, we talked about our current launches. At the end, at last weekend, we launched Trix, which is located in Pirituba neighborhood in São Paulo, which was well accepted. We sold over 50% of the units in the first weekend, and in the coming days, we will continue to work with our other project in Pirituba and in Rio. We'll be launching a project in the north area of the city, close to Dome, our great success of the fourth quarter of last year. So we have good expectations in terms of sales for that project as well. On slide number 6, we have our performance of sales in the quarter. Despite a challenging macroeconomic scenario and the World Cup, which had a very important effect on us, our gross sales reached 600 million reais, which were 18% above last quarter, especially because of a higher number of launches in the period. We sold just about the same level of inventory in the first quarter, around 510 million. But sales went from 39 to 149 million. We had a little higher concentration of dissolutions in this quarter, but in the year, we are in line with our initial expectation of around 200 million on average for the quarter. Considering those dissolutions, which were higher in the second quarter, our net sales reached 383 million reais, slightly below the first quarter. Going on to slide number 7, we mentioned the resale of those dissolution of contracts, which are in line with what we've seen in the past quarters. As we can see on the left, we managed to resell those contracts within 12 months, which generates a nominal gain of 15% when compared to the initial PSV. On the next slide, we show the evolution of our inventory. As the chart on the left shows, we had an increase in total inventory at market value, especially because of the adjustment of our sales chart. On the right, you can see number of units. Our inventory is going down, especially considering just the completed inventory and the ones to be delivered in 2014 at around 13%. That inventory remains the focus of our commercial and sales areas, given that once they are sold, it generates immediate cash for the company. As you can see, we managed to reduce that inventory from 7,600 units to 6,600 units in the second quarter. On slide number 9, We'll be talking about deliveries. We had 21 occupancy permits in the second quarter, up from 17 in the first quarter, but still below our expectations. We continue to deliver our works within the physical schedule, but several bureaucratic issues, which are isolated, have caused the permits to delay a little bit. So right now we had 20 concluded projects, and we are in the process of obtaining a permit. 21 projects which have 95% of the works completed, and another 5 projects which are between 90 and 95% of completion. So the delay in our occupancy permits is not related with the completion of the work, but to bureaucratic issues. That said, we remain confident in obtaining the necessary permits in the coming months and quarters. I'd like now to give the floor to Mr. Carella, who will comment on the financial results of the quarter. On the next slide, we have managed to transfer our mortgage as expected. We improved our inventory of units. 7,500 units have been transferred, which was in line with our expectations for the year. On the next slide, G&A dropping, $91 million in the quarter. There is a downtrend year on year, similar to the previous quarter. The number remains stable despite two events which had a negative impact on the quarter. First, the collective bargaining, which impacted at 8% and 7.5% in São Paulo. Then non-recurring expenses, which amounted to $6 million in the quarter. We're still focused in reducing G&A by increasing efficiency in our operations and reducing structure due to the high number of deliveries which we have scheduled for the coming quarters. On slide 12, we see a proxy of the evolution of our operating performance measured by our net debt along the past quarters. Despite the number being a little above that of the previous quarter, that can be explained by events which are not directly related to our operations, which are $30 million refer to our REP operations, shopping malls. The REP invested 100 million reais in the previous quarters in the building of a new shopping mall in Botucatu, 2, which was opened in May. As we started selling land, we expect REP to generate cash in the short term. Additionally, we had the payment of dividends concerning an operation with Agri, which accounted for 32 million reais. Lastly, we paid part of the amount agreed upon with the Campinas City at 8 million reais. Excluding those effects, the operating cash of the company would be at 20 million reais in the quarter. For the coming quarters, despite the delay we have in issuing the permits, we have a very positive expectation in terms of cash generation. The reduction in cost of work will allow us to generate cash, as well as the fact that we hope to be able to transfer more units. On the next slide, we have the concept of expanded net, considering not only the net debt of the company, but also the incurred cost of construction. The PDG has increased the performance of its assets and decrease the burden on the same. On the next slide, we'll talk about debt. We managed to solve all our refinancing needs from the first to the second quarter. We had started 2014 with 1.2 billion to mature this year. In the middle of the year, we are now at a more comfortable situation now. Specifically, we have three operations which are being finalized, adding up to 600 million reais, which cover all the maturities for the second half. Once we conclude those operations, we believe that the challenge of rolling over debt for 2014 will have been overcome, and we'll be able to focus our efforts on the deleverage of our companies throughout the next 18 to 24 months. On the next slide, the REP margin is increasing gradually, from 27% in the first quarter to 30% in the second quarter. as we deliver the projects, that margin should converge to 31.5% as it was in 2013. Lastly, the last slide, we show a summary of our accounting results. It's important to mention that the revenue was impacted by the fact that new sales were concentrated in terms of launches, and we have not acknowledged any of the launches and the results. Besides, we also had a negative impact of dissolutions in our gross income. We had a lower dilution in our revenue, which impacted our bottom line. And with this, we'll all open for Q&A. We now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If your question is answered, press star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Questions will be answered on a first-come, first-served basis. We'd like to ask you, please, to keep your phone off the hook as you make the question so that you can obtain maximum sound quality. Please stand by as we compile the questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Enrico Trotta from Itaú BBA. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have two quick questions. The first one concerning the solutions of contracts. We know you have an expectation of having 200 million in terms of dissolutions per quarter, and that's in line with what you had in the first half. But my question is, do you expect any changes moving forward, taking into account that the macroeconomic scenario will change, and also the fact that the demand in the first half was not as strong as we expected? So in terms of dissolutions, what do you see happening going forward, given the weak macroeconomic scenario? And the second question, we see that in terms of accounting, you reversed the line of other financial expenses at 11 million. I'd like to have more color on that line, if you will, please. The reason behind that reversal, and also within the same question, when we look at the revenue, that other operating revenues also jumped. So if you could give us a little more detail on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Enrique. This is Kerala speaking. I'll start by the second question. One thing has to do with the other, actually. When we do a dissolution, we retain something like 20% of what was paid by the client. That's written in the contract. In the first quarter, we had acknowledged that in financial revenues, and we shouldn't have. So what we did was that we reversed that. So what you see that is a correction of that number, and consequently, that appeared on the top line. So the right way to account for that is other operating revenues on the top line. So one thing it has to do with the other directly. So we made a mistake in the first quarter, and we corrected it in the second quarter. And what concerns the solutions, our expectations remain the same. There is no evidence to suggest that despite the increase in the number of deliveries, that the number of the solutions will change. We expect the same level going forward. And this is because of the same reason. We haven't seen so far any change in the appetite, if you will, of banks in terms of real estate financing. So as long as we have this scenario in terms of credit, and provided we improve our efficiency, of course, part of it depends on what we do, I believe we'll be able to maintain the same level of dissolution. That's an important aspect to touch upon, and I'd like to emphasize that despite the short-term negative accounting effect, we continue to deal with very net dissolution processes. So we are confident in that. So our expectations remain the same in what concerns dissolutions. It's important to emphasize that the sales speed for dissolutions is at 80% in 12 months. So if you consider just the dissolution universe, if you will, it has been performing better than the remainder of the company. So we have no reason to expect anything different. Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Marcelo Lima from BTG Pactual. Good morning, everyone. My question has to do with deliveries, permits, and transfers. We've seen this number at a flat rate. So it has to do with worse off performance in terms of permits. If you could perhaps talk a little bit more about the evolution of those aspects in time. The question would be, do we have any project with some kind of structural restriction that is keeping us from getting the permits, some kind of legislative or regulation problem that is keeping us from getting the permits? Otherwise, that number, we would expect this number to really go up soon. So we could see this as a very high potential in terms of transfers. The reason why we broke down those 50 projects, which have been concluded but which do not have the permit yet, it's because we have been asked if that schedule has to do with the completion of works. And the question was, were the works delayed? So our intention with this is no, our works are within schedule, physically speaking, and also within financial budgeting. So the bottleneck appears when we finish the work, the projects, the buildings, and obtaining the permit. We have some localized problems in Campinas, for example, and we also have a problem concerning documents to be obtained, but that's all localized in Campinas. We also have some older projects in the northeastern region of the country, but the works have been concluded, as I said. We are down to bureaucratic issues, mainly. We are in the process of solving that. So our schedule for permits until the end of the year has been kept in our forecast. So those are things that move on from month to month, but we managed to recover that. And they are one-off or localized issues. There is no structural issue. So the company had one problem, which was Campinas, which has been solved and will be addressed throughout time. But all the other issues are localized. Out of the projects that have been working on in terms of permits, they have been financed by different processes. They have a marginal cash contribution, something around 60, 40. We can break it down later if you want, but part of that margin, which is still being retained, doesn't have a significant impact in cash. So that impact is reduced when compared to the total volume. So in light of the quarter, where we had problems with city halls, with notary publics, fewer working days, because of all that, our performance dropped. But we believe that in the second half, we'll be having a better performance because there's nothing in the horizon in terms of structure, as you said, to keep us from getting those permits. If you, with the exception of Campinas, then what would be the average timeline you've been experiencing in terms of obtaining the permit, from finishing the work to obtaining the occupancy permit? The timeline is from 60 to 90 days, Marcelo. That's the time frame we've been working with. We start the project a little before the conclusion of the work, and that takes from 60 to 90 days. Okay, thank you. Excuse me, our next question comes from Mr. Luis Mauricio Garcia from Bradesco. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first has to do with the operating side, the sales side, when we look at the sales mix for inventory in the first and second quarters, we saw a large amount of Minha Casa, Minha Vida units. They represent a significant percentage of the sales. But when we look at the breakdown in inventory, you see that those units are almost non-existent, something close to 3%. I'd like to understand that change. Why those units were accounting for so much of the mix before, and now they account for so little. Were you more aggressive in terms of selling those units, or they were being sold more frequently? What can we conclude from those numbers? And also, I'd like to hear what business segments, regardless of Minha Casa, Minha Vida, what market segments look more promising looking forward concerning the present macroeconomic scenario? And then the second question on the topic, the line other operating expenses, even though we have a mark-to-market of 26 million, we have a negative line at 17 million. So it is implicit there that there was a very high expense of around 40-some million that led to a consolidated impact, which was negative. If you could break that number down a little bit, that 40-some million, I'd appreciate it. This is Kerala. I take the second question first. The account, the math there, despite the 25 million in favor of RAP, of an increase, there was a write-off of the premium. That investment had an 11 million premium. So the first impact from Batuca 2 is around 14. Second, we had an increase of provisioning for legal contingency of 16 million reais. Third, there was TGLT impact, which is a delayed impact, usually of 3 months, an effect of foreign exchange variation, and then the balance are other expenses which we have, which come from consolidation of balance sheets, and they are managed by third parties. I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly how much, but it's around 12 million. So again, the shopping mall Batuca 2 effect is 14, not 16 million. And on top of that, we have 10 million concerning income tax and social contribution. You can see in the line it went up from one quarter to the other, from 10 to 31. That 21 million balance, 11 out of those 21 refer to the shopping mall in Batuca 2. So from a practical point of view, that increase has an impact in the bottom line of 3 million reais. Okay, now you understand. My intention was to understand the impact. Okay, that's clear. Okay. In what concerning now the Minha Casa, Minha Vida project, those are concentrated in the center area of the country. We are moving out of that region now. And they also had to do with dissolution. And that's why that generated high sales in that region of the country and also in Bahia and in Belém. We concentrated our efforts on those units in terms of sales and commercial aspects because those are regions we are not planning on operating more closely now. So we wanted to reap all the benefits now. And this is Piani again. And what concerns market segments, given future uncertainty on the macroeconomic side, our understanding is that the legacy project of cheaper units would perhaps take the burden of economic problems. So that, associated with the geographical strategy mentioned by Geddes, led us to focus more on this segment now than throughout time as a whole. And moving forward, even with this performance, do you still see that the mid to high segment is the place to work? We are looking at two things. We are looking at the top line. There is the question of cost. There are companies which we are very well successful in that segment, and our track record has not been as good as that of those other companies. So our strategy for that segment has to come from a combination of two things: structural aspects of the segment along with our ability to execute. I'd say that today we are not at a very favorable combination for us right now. As we consolidate our process of legacy execution and we move forward with our deleveraging process, we will be able to look at the macro environment more clearly, and we will definitely know which are our abilities to deal with that segment. Today, it's a bit diffused, if you will, throughout different efforts. So as of today, we would not be interested in growing in that segment despite its attractiveness. That doesn't mean that tomorrow we may decide to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Paola Mello from Citibank. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. First, I'd like to ask you if you could give us an update on the evolution of the renegotiations of debt, the average cost of new debt, and guarantees demanded by banks. And the second question would be about cash generation. What can we expect for the second half in terms of cash generation and also for 2015? What percentage will that come from monetization of receivables? And what percentage would come from the sales of inventories, and that's basically it. Oh, hi, Paula. This is Kerala. Good morning. Basically, our debt renegotiations are going well. We are moving from the capital markets to the bank market. Of course, the banking sector has an understanding of the macroeconomic scenario, which is closer to what we see. So it is easier for banks to assess the market than for the asset market to evaluate that. So the debt rollovers have been varying from TR plus, which are, of course, subsidized rates, to operations with a more corporate character at around 2.5, 3% above CDI. So it varies from case to case. Now, in terms of guarantees, collaterals, nothing different from what we've been doing. Receivables, sometimes an inventory composition, a land bank, that hasn't changed significantly in time. So the three operations we have undergoing right now, as I mentioned before, have those characteristics. Receivables and or inventory as guarantee. Two of them and the FSHE. And the other one with a more corporate structure. So that's basically what we have been doing. So the idea is to focus our exposure with the banking sector and less with the capital market. From the point of view of cash flow, we do not break it down between receivables and inventory. We have two main drivers that will directly affect the cash flow. If we take the extremes, 2013 and 2015, in 2013, the company had a had a cost of incorporation and construction of $3.5 billion. In 2015, that number is at about $1 billion, actually. That's $2.5 billion of inversion. So if we consider the debt of $1 billion, that would lead our cash flow at $1.5 billion positive next year. The transfer is an additional amount. So last year we transferred 14,000 units. This year Our estimate is from 18,000 to 20,000. And next year, a similar number, 6,000 units in the swing, as we call it. So those are the two main lines that we no doubt will be addressing. So the cost line is very defining. As we conclude the work, there's no place where to spend, if you will. And we have, of course, a different line which depends on the credit scenario, which has to do with our ability to transfer and the ability of banks to deal with that. So that's how we look at it. Objectively speaking, as we finish the cycle of construction, which is starting 2010-11, that by itself will guarantee an inversion of the cash flow. Whatever comes on top of that will come from a stronger pace in transfers. Okay, thank you. Excuse me, our next question comes from Mr. Cassius Peixoto from Onyx. Good morning. Kerala, if you mentioned about your G&A, looking forward, has it stopped dropping or do you expect it to continue dropping in the coming quarters? We expect it to continue dropping. Our G&A derives from three fronts. The integration of all the companies, and this was done way back. The second is a cultural aspect, different way to manage. So today we have a stricter control of operating costs. We have targets. We have monthly checks. And a third, which is a result of the size of the company's deleveraging. If we move from 300 construction sites to 50 construction sites, it will, of course, imply a decrease in G&A. Of course, that also implies some loss of productivity at first. So that's only natural. So there is some loss in terms of operating gain. But our understanding is to continue seeking gaining in efficiency, and as well, we'll have severance costs and other going forward. Do you have any idea of that amount on a recurring basis? No, I wouldn't know how to say this now. Okay, thank you. Excuse me, our next question comes from Mr. Marcelo Mota, Banco JP Morgan. Good morning. Two quick questions. The first concerning provision, which impacted the line of other operating revenues, if you could comment on it, specifically the construction maintenance. I'd like to understand a little better where that provision is going. And we also see the revenue dropping maybe a little above what expected. I understand the number of holidays and so on. I'd like to understand how you see that scenario going forward, when we compare the total sales for the year, we still have things, we expect things to be aligned next year. How do you see that trend in terms of revenue, also touching on G&A and so on? This is Piani. Concerning your first question, the provisioning was a complement of provision for contingency, so it has nothing to do with maintenance, with contractual regulation. It has to do with contingent liabilities. And we have a provision for that, which are broken down in possible and probable. We are working closely on that since we started our work here. And in what concerns our revenue, we filed a smaller revenue. It's worth pointing out that this is a combination of the percentage of sales and the percentage of the POC. One thing that was impactful in this quarter was the level of dissolution. And there was a reversal in terms of revenue, in terms of cost, a net impact on the margin, which was commented on by Kerala, of 52 million reais. So we do not see, as I said in my introduction, we don't see that volume being overcome exceeded going forward. I see now a downtrend for that curve, given the fact that this was deriving from that backlog, which was subject to transfer. So we expect the volume to go down. So going forward, as you said, given the next quarters, we would have a POC more advanced, and of course, we expect more robust revenues going forward. Okay, thank you. Excuse me. Our next question comes from Mr. Pablo Barros from GBM.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the call. I was wondering if the new urban legislation on Sao Paulo will affect PDG in the near future.
Concerning the new directive plan of the city, we have hedged ourselves at first by buying land that would give us some kind of guarantee within the older plan of the city. We purchased around 1.5 billion in terms of PSV to face this new city plan. The plan has a few restrictions, especially concerning the payment of taxes. So prices will go up because of higher taxes. At first, the market will be expectant in terms of what will happen and trying to accommodate what comes their way. So we believe that by the end of this year, the market will adjust to the new zoning rules. And this will, of course, affect or impact property owners, land owners. Everybody needs to adjust to the new rules, to the new plan. But we believe that starting next year, things will be smoother and negotiations will resume their previous levels. I think the market should seek new opportunities vis-a-vis the new plan for the city, and I think the market will adjust itself. For in terms of PDG, we try to anticipate negotiations. As I said, we bought land based on the previous legislation so that we could have a buffer, if you will, in terms of projects to be conducted in 2015 and 2016. The Q&A session is now over. I'd like to give the floor back to Mr. Piani for his final remarks. We are close to the total execution of our legacy projects, and we are very excited with the perspective of building a very good success story. I'm sure that with the group we have today, we will reach our objectives, and we will be, once again, sales leaders in the regions where we operate with profitability levels higher than those of the market and an appreciation from all markets, and thus generating value to our shareholders. Thank you again for participating in our call, and have a nice day, everyone. The audio conference for the second quarter results for PDG is now over. You can now disconnect your line. Thank you. Have a nice day.